Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How's the week been in the world of Ben?
It's been fairly event-free, really. It's been not too bad at all. How's the week for Trev?
I've been very social.
Oh, you've got out of the house at last.
I went out once and I've had people to the house.
Wow.
I'm just very social. I've got people coming round later today, and that's going to be the fifth day on the trot when I've socialised.
Wow, five in a row.
I'm a bit tired now. I'm a bit talked out. I've got a feeling that when the people come later, I might just sit in the corner and let them get on with it.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't really, you know, if you're going to start the podcast out, which is basically a medium where talking is quite key, to start that off by saying I'm a bit talked out, we're 59 seconds in by my watch. I know you'll edit this, but we're about 59 seconds in.
I reckon I could get this down to 56 seconds. Just put it out.
I'm not exactly hopeful for this one.
No, it's been a lot of talking, that's all, and I'm a bit out of practice with the old talking.
Okay, well, what do you want to talk about? You're an Arsenal fan.
Oh, well, I see. No, we're not talking about that. You can fuck right off.
What, you're making a good bid for the Champions League, aren't you? Oh, no, sorry, not the Champions League, the Championship. Yeah, that's it, sorry.
Well, you'll be able to
tell there was actual anger in that false little laugh there.
You'll be able to tell me all about what life is like at the Championship, won't you?
Oh, touched a nerve.
Not talking about it. I'm withdrawing my support until the club is sold to a better owner. That's the stance I'm taking at the moment.
Oh, I don't think I've, in all the podcasts we've done, I don't think I've ever actually touched a nerve with you before, but
They can all go. Put them all up for sale. We're not even going to sell them. They're not worth money. I just want 5 minutes in the dressing room with them after a match. That's all I'm asking. Because somebody needs to give that lot of fucking rocket up the arse.
Is that a minute for every goal that Man City put past you?
It's a minute for as long as I can stop myself from killing them.
Outrageous. All right, okay, well, let's change the subject. Let's go back to Happy Trev.
Well, there's no Happy Trev this week. No Happy Trev. Anyway, I want to ask you some advice, and B, how you feel about this.
Oh, it's not often you come to me for advice. It's normally the other way around.
Well, just because I know that the subject matter is very much your wheelhouse.
Oh, okay.
So we're recording this Sunday lunchtime. In about 2 hours' time, I've got my two godsons coming over.
Yep.
Or two of my godsons coming over. And they will want to play Mario Kart on my Nintendo Wii.
Ah, okay.
The last time they were here, as they left, they said to me, by the next time we come, could you please unlock some more races on Mario Wii?
Okay.
Or Mario Kart on the Wii, right? And I said, well, I'll see what I can do. The truth is, I haven't played it because I don't play it on my own. I get very bored, as you know, playing video games. Now, I know that when they come in about 2 hours' time, I'm going to have to disappoint them with the news that A, I haven't even played it, and B, I certainly haven't been able to unlock any more races.
Yeah.
Now, you being into your gaming, is there a cheat? Is there something I can do to unlock all the races? And in the gaming world, is that
sorry, don't simultaneously ask me for help and mock me at the same time. That's not going to work out well.
In the gaming world, I'm going to play my game. Is it unethical to do that?
I would say, from my own point of view, it's absolutely pointless to cheat at any game, because what's the point?
The point is to appease my godchildren when they come.
Yeah. So from a personal point of view, I would never cheat. If it was God, my godsons are coming over and they want this and I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
Then I'll put in a cheat to unlock it for them. Then go ahead by all means. But I never see the point in cheating when I'm playing, because what on earth is the point?
Yeah.
But no, I don't know of any way to cheat to unlock. I can try and have a look for you. I mean, if you'd been on your game, you could have simply asked me to come around for a couple of hours.
I could have
done it for you. So I can look into if there's a cheat. I don't believe there is, but all you have to do, I believe, is simply beat the cups and, you know, get a trophy. I don't even think you need to come gold to unlock all of them. Just just get on the podium, and then you'll eventually unlock all the cups.
The annoying thing is, right, because when they come, they play the, I think, is it the versus race?
Yes.
Right? But that doesn't unlock things. It's got to be the individual one. I've got to do it on my own. And I think, what sort of setting is that? Surely it's more fun if they're playing together and they can unlock the games as they go. And therefore, the burden isn't on me. It's all on them. You unlock the games, boys.
So you're asking me this with about 2 hours to spare.
2 hours to spare. And I've either got to bring down a whole heap of devastation and disappointment upon my godchildren, or I've got 2 hours to solve this particular problem. Because when I was a kid, right, we had I had the ZX Spectrum, which was great, as you know. Emlyn Hughes International Soccer, still a game I enjoy playing every now and again.
Yeah,
but I also had a couple of football management games on the Spectrum. I think there was one. I think it was just called Football Manager, and you had a certain budget that you had to buy and sell players and all of that, right? And I don't know how we discovered it, but we discovered a cheat where you could get into your budget and basically make that pot bottomless, and you could buy any player you wanted.
Yeah.
And that meant that we could win the league. Now, I guess that was cheating to a degree.
Well, of course, that takes any kind of point out of the game entirely, doesn't it?
Well, no, because you've still got to manage the team. You've got to put out the best team. You've got to have right formation. There was training. You had to give training to the players. And, there was a little cheat we used to do there. That was always a bit of extra fun. Give yourself a load of money.
I've been having a bit of a Google. Right. And unfortunately, there are tips and advice on little things you can do to gain an advantage, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of code you can punch in to just unlock everything. I would have happily done this for you for free, but you've asked me too late now.
I know. I've left it too late now. So, and the thing is, I sometimes think perhaps we need to master the tracks we've got unlocked first. Perhaps that's the tact I need to take. So, look, boys, I've decided that let's master the tracks we've already got unlocked before we get on to the next ones. Maybe that's the game to play.
Here's what you do, right?
Yeah.
You say, right, boys, I understand you wanted to play some more tracks.
Yeah.
Now, I could have gone on there and easily. Blown through the game.
Yeah.
You know, big yourself up a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have blown through this game in an hour or two and unlocked everything for you. But, boys, as a bonding experience, what we're going to do is we're going to sit down together, we're going to play one at a time, pass the controller on, we're going to beat each level together, and we're going to unlock the games together, and it's going to be really rewarding and really fun, and then when we unlocked everything, we can play it together.
I mean, that's a flawed system. You can't have one of them play while the two others sit there. That's not going to, that doesn't fly well with kids. You've got to all be in it together at the same time.
I know that's ideal, but I'm trying to give you a plan B here because you've been so sloppy with plan A.
Well, it's not really sloppiness. And also, the other thing is, I'm not sure I could actually unlock the games. There was a time years ago when I thought I was pretty good at Mario, fairly good, not great. I could win most races. But now when I play, because I haven't really played it for years, and I play it periodically when they come over, I'm absolutely shit.
Right, I'm going to need to come down to your place, collect your Wii, bring it back home to East Grinstead, unlock everything for you, and bring it back.
I think that might be the answer.
I think it is the only answer.
My reactions are certainly slower than they used to be. I'm sure I used to be able to react to situations quicker, avoid penguins and all the other ridiculous things. And I fall off the edge. I was doing, there's one where you go in the gold mine.
You know the one where you go in the gold mine, Ben?
Yeah.
You know that one?
I never used to fall off the edge once I'd got quite good at it. I fall off so often now, it's just embarrassing.
My instinct just then was to mock you for not being very good at the game.
Yeah.
But then I thought, actually, you know, you're a man of a certain age who, you know, is trying to do this to please godsons and children, and that's nice. It. Whereas I'm a man in my mid-30s who's taking immense pride in being brilliant at this game for kids. So I don't know who's more tragic, really. I've got a terrible feeling it's me.
If you if and when you bring little ones into the world, would you allow them to beat you every now and again at Mario Kart to sort of boost their confidence and get them into it? Or will you think, fuck it, I'm in it to win it?
Are you asking me, will I intentionally throw a game?
Yeah.
Never.
Not even, like, your little Ben, he's sitting there on the couch. Let's say he's 6 years old. He's just getting the hang of it. He's getting better. He's improved a bit. He's now finishing maybe, you know, fifth in a race.
And he's fifth.
And he's getting a bit upset. He's getting a bit upset because he's always been thwarted at the last minute by a banana skin or something. Would you not think, oh, do you know what? I won't. Because it's probably you that's thrown the banana skin.
Of course.
And would you not think, right, I'll tell you what, I'll let him go through on this one. I'll let him win it.
He has everything he needs to beat me within his hands. He has the controller.
Right.
He has a fair chance.
The thing is, at that age, mate, I don't think it's a fair chance you get.
Well, listen, one day, if with enough dedication and hard work, he might beat me on a certain lap, maybe. Right.
Yeah.
But that's going to mean something when they do it. I'm not going to let them win.
Right, so you're never going to let a child... Would you let them win a board game if that... A card game? Let's just say you're playing Snap. Very basic game.
No, I think I would quite willingly slap my hand down first and shout Snap faster than anyone else could. Definitely. I mean, if you're going to win it, what's the pride you would take in winning a game and then realising later on they let you win?
Well, as a kid, you wouldn't know. You just go away with a happy thought. Because you know what children are like? They like to play a game over and over and over again. So let's say you're on the sixth round of Snap and he's lost every single round. Would you not do, I'll give him one?
No.
Oh, Ben.
There are winners and losers in life, and you need to learn that lesson.
Wow. I feel sorry for any child coming into this. I'm going to preempt any arrival of a new baby harbour by getting Childline on standby already.
Do you think when Arsenal were 5-0 down the other day, Man City thought, we're 5-0 up, we can let them have one, shall we? No, they didn't. 5-0 walloping.
Well, the way we're playing,
no mercy.
We couldn't score our own goal anyway.
Trevor, wanted to talk about the big news of the week. I'm talking, of course, OnlyFans.
OnlyFans?
Oh, yeah. Pretend you don't know what OnlyFans is.
OnlyFans? No, I do know what OnlyFans is. I'm not on it. I don't know anything about it. I just know of it. And I saw this week that they are basically banning nudies.
Yeah.
Said, stop doing that. Put it away.
Well, yeah. They made the
I don't
curious.
Want to see it. I made you curious. Oh, Mrs. Ben, I'm research for the podcast, love. I'm having a look at it. Yeah.
I was going to say they made the curious decision to suddenly decide to ban all sorts of pornographic content.
Was it set up, as you seem to know a lot about this, was it set up for pornographic purposes? What was the point
OnlyFans,
of OnlyFans originally?
OnlyFans was originally set up so that if you were an artist, a musician, a painter, anything you like, if you had fans, then you could set up an OnlyFans page and your fans could chip in a certain amount of money to get access to your stuff.
So is this like a modern day MySpace, but you make a bit of money out of it?
Yeah, they pay for exclusive content on your page, and they're your fans, they pay, and that's, you know, your content is only for fans,
only for fans, right. It sounds a good system, and then it was taken over by people showing off their bits and pieces.
It basically became 95% porn. And
as does anything on the internet. Do you think Tim Berners-Lee sits at home going, what the fuck have I done? I started this thing to educate, inform, keep people up to date, share information, and people are just taking their cocks out.
It's a great success story because it's London based. I think it was created and maintained in London.
Right.
And I think as of next year, it is projected to earn something like $2.5 billion profit. It's just ridiculous.
Wow. Well, that profit won't be as big if they take away nudies.
No, I mean, it's insane. Basically, they got a little bit anxious because some of the people they bank with or do the banking with them.
Basically
thought, oh, we're not really comfortable with all the porn. So they decided, okay, pull the plug on all the porn.
Yeah.
Which to my mind is like saying McDonald's have decided to now exclusively sell just those little carrot sticks.
Right.
No more burgers, no more fries. We're just going to focus on the carrot sticks.
So porn is now really the main menu stuff for OnlyFans.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And everything else. If you're a musician, you're just a side that no one wants.
You are the carrot stick.
You're the healthy stuff you give the child just to tick off one of their five a day. But most of the time, you're just watching the porn.
Exactly. So I was, no surprise. No surprise to anybody that about 5 days after this announcement, OnlyFans decided to U-turn on this decision.
Oh, have they? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they've, it was the 1st of October. on the 1st of October, they were going to,
you've been watching it too much.
Pull the plug.
The butt plug, is that?
but now they've decided to suspend that decision and just let the porn.
Everything
flow.
You say now has got some sort of innuendo to it. We're going to suspend. There's a plug.
They're going to pull it. Yeah.
Right. So porn will continue on OnlyFans.
Porn will continue. So good news. But, I was thinking maybe I could get in on some of the...
You want to get on OnlyFans?
Some of the action, yeah.
Okay.
And it struck me as, well, this is when they were thinking about pulling the plug on all the porn.
Right.
Because I was thinking, right, well, when all the porn's gone,
yeah,
there's still going to be an audience there hungry for something.
Right.
And I thought, fetish porn.
Fetish porn.
Exactly, because I think, you know what rule 36 of the internet is, right?
No.
Okay, rule 36 of the internet.
Is this who wrote these rules, by the way?
I think someone on Reddit wrote
Tim
it.
Tim Berners-Lee wrote these rules when he invented it. Rule 36.
Rule 36 of the internet is no matter what it is, it's somebody's fetish.
Well, that's probably true.
So I thought, with this gaping hole of that the porn has left behind, I can step in.
Yeah.
And I thought I can provide some fetish porn because it could be someone's fetish, like Rule 36 states. It's kind of whatever you're doing is going to be someone's fetish. Who knows? This podcast could be someone's fetish.
I'd like the difficult wanking at this.
It could be, though. You never know. So I thought, well, I can step in here and I can do something that wouldn't be considered to the average Joe porn, but could still tick someone's box.
There you go again. Right. So what have you come up with?
Well, I thought, what have I got going for me? I thought, well, I've got quite big feet.
Well, that's a page one fetish, isn't it? Feet.
So I thought, a lot of people have feet fetishes. Mm. And if I put pictures of my feet on the internet, no one's going to come down on that and say that's porn and it has to be removed.
Yeah. What size feet are you?
Well, I've got size 13 feet.
Yeah.
And not only that, but because I'm a postie, I've got shorts on all year round.
Right.
So I've got lovely golden tan on my sort of shins and on the back of my legs.
Yeah.
And then I've got these incredibly pale feet.
Right.
So I thought that's my USP.
Yeah.
Big pale feet.
Wow.
That's going to be my OnlyFans page. Big pale feet. And I thought, it's not going to fall foul of the porn rules because it's just pictures of feet.
Yeah.
If it does it for someone, there's no more porn for them to look at. So I can earn a fortune with my big pale feet and I can cash in. But now they've U-turned, so I'm back to square one.
But are you thinking that because there's no porn on OnlyFans, the people will go, well, there's no porn here, so I'm now going to turn my attention to feet? Because
it's an outside chance. I saw an opening in the market that I was trying to fill.
Because the point is that people that want porn will go and find porn elsewhere. Because I don't know if you know this, Ben, there's quite a lot of porn on the internet.
I've been told.
There's one or two videos out there.
So I hear,
And I don't think people will suddenly think, oh, well, there's no porn on OnlyFans. Oh, but hang on. There's a massive foot that's doing it for me. Because I think if you open up the foot fetish market on OnlyFans with your big white hairy foot.
Yeah.
Did you say it was hairy or have I just added hair to that in my imagination?
I don't want to tantalise the fans too much, fuzz.
Wait till you put the pictures out. They're looking for it anyway. So you'll grab the foot fetish market, but I'm not sure you're going to bring more people to the table with that.
So I might just attract the foot fetish people that were there anyway.
I think so, yeah. And the thing is, I think, and I don't want to turn this into a competition, Ben, but I might start stealing it because I've got bigger feet than you.
Well, this is exactly why I was worried about talking to you about this, because although I have big size 13 white feet, you have big size 14 white feet.
So. Well, 15.
15, they've gone up.
14 stroke 15. I bought some size 14 shoes a while back and they didn't fit. I had to go to size 15.
Jesus.
The only thing about my feet is they are fucking horrible. That would have to be a whole new fetish, that you like feet, but feet that are absolutely, like, there's nothing sexy about my foot at all. Or feet, I've got two.
Rule 36, mate. Someone might like size 15, big ugly feet.
Sort of with lots of hard skin on the bottom.
Yeah.
Really horrible nails. I'm sure I'll find a home. I don't think I'm going to earn a living out of that. I'm not sure my feet will. I don't think they're my pension scheme, put it that way. Okay, so feet. Have you got any other ideas that you could put out there? Any other fetishes?
Well, no, but I mean, but besides, I kind of was worried about you coming in and trumping me with having even larger feet than me.
Yeah,
but
I think I'm going to take that market, mate.
I thought the USP would be the paleness of my feet in contrast to my lovely shins.
Yeah, because I'm just pale all the way. there's no tan at all, because my feet or my legs barely get any daylight.
if you get some fans on there, they can send you requests and stuff to make custom made videos. They might say, oh, put your feet in jam, put your feet in water, cut your toenails,
put your feet in water. I mean, how dull is your fetish? Lord, I mean, jam, I could get that. Like, people going, oh, I like a foot, but I like it in jam. But some just going, oh, I like a wet foot. I like a foot that looks like it's just got out of a swimming pool.
Are you saying this doesn't exist? No, I guarantee. I'm going to Google it right now. Wet foot fetish.
Well, of course it exists. You just said Rule 36. It's going to be anything's going to do it. There's something in your history that it's going to have to explain to Mrs. Ben.
Right.
She says, Ben, what's this? I'll do research, love, for a new business idea.
I'm on a certain website now. I'm looking at a video which is 5 minutes 29 seconds long. Wet foot fetish with sexy cream.
Wow. But they're adding cream. Or is sexy cream a euphemism for man?
I don't know. I mean, I'm now currently wiping my history. Clean the last hour. Done. Good.
I'm sure. There's another thing. Put whipped cream on a foot. There's a foot fetish extra there.
Yeah, so do you think this is a sort of gap in the market I can literally step into?
I don't know. I mean, there are people out there with wet feet and cream on them. I'm not sure just a big, white, hairy foot is going to it's gonna make you a lot of money, to be honest.
Yeah, you might be onto something.
Now, Ben, a while back we did a few of those would you rather questions. Do you remember?
Yes, yeah.
Well, this week I've been sent not would you rather questions, but questions that beg an answer. You know, those sort of things. So I've been sent these by Steve. Thank you very much, Steve, for sending these. He thinks we might enjoy these.
Okay.
So I thought we'd go through and I'll just pick a few at random and see what we come up with. Right, first one. If animals could talk, which species would be the rudest of them all? I mean, my instant place is cat.
That's where I went straight to, is cat.
I love cats, but that you'd know that they'd be rude.
Yeah.
Because dogs would be very self-absorbed. They'd be like, I want to walk. I want to walk now. Walk now. Walk now. Walk now. Ball. 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 Food. Food. But a cat would be like, I'm sitting here and I'm not moving. This is my seat. You go over there.
I think I'm in agreement with you. I think it has to be cats.
I'm going to shit in the kitchen and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's got to be cats.
I'm bringing this dead mouse in and I'm just going to leave it there. You fucking deal with it.
Oh, I had to see that the other day. I went up to someone's front door and the cat was sitting there all proud of itself.
Really?
Dead mouse there. I thought, oh, you little shit.
But it's killed a mouse. I mean, I think that's a service it's doing.
Do you know, I was told that they often don't kill the mice. They bring them home half dead. Mm. And the idea is to show the owners, like, well, go on then, kill it. You know, I've done all the work for you. You've got to learn to hunt. You've got to kill this thing.
Yeah.
But then psychopaths.
But then you do spend your life hunting for it because it would run under a fucking wardrobe or something. my grandparents' cat often used to bring a mouse in, and then it would escape, and they would spend half the night trying to find it because it would run under a cupboard, and it's just a nightmare. It is just a nightmare. I mean, I love cats. I grew up with cats that didn't. Well, one of them didn't kill at all. I've told you about Max before because he just had no instincts at all. He would jump 5 minutes after the bird had flown away. The other cat, she would bring in, not mice, but birds occasionally. Or she might kill a bird. But she brought in a bird once that escaped. We had to get that out of the house. But we didn't have very bloodthirsty cats, but some. Incredible. I saw a cat once in the street. I mean, this was incredible, right? I saw a cat that had taken on a pigeon.
Wow.
And I think the pigeon had deceased and it was lying on the pavement, sort of wings out.
That can't have been much of a fight.
And the cat was sort of on top of it, holding it down. And I think it must have just come to the end of the pigeon looked dead at this point. But I reckon that would be quite a fight. A pigeon's going to not give in easily. The big bird as well, isn't it? A pigeon.
They're plump things, but they're not really powerful, are they, pigeons?
Oh, that beak, though. I reckon I could do some damage with a beak.
No, I reckon a cat would make short shrift of a pigeon.
Okay, all right. What about other animals that might be rude?
Seagulls.
Oh, seagulls would be absolute fucking arseholes, wouldn't they?
Yep. Like,
I'm having that. It's mine. It's mine. I don't care that you've paid for it. It's mine. And yeah, do you know what? I'm going to shit on your head now as well.
I think seagulls might be ruder than cats.
I think you're right. I think a seagull could be the rudest animal. Because, I mean, other animals, you think the big animals, like the lion, right? The king of the jungle, the lion. I don't think a lion would be particularly rude. It would be forceful, be very forthright in its views. But I don't know if it'd be rude. I think it would allow other people around the table to have their say. And it would say, I've made my decision. Now, it's very good to hear everyone's opinions. I have made my decision, though, and I am going to eat the antelope first.
Yeah, and I mean, even if lions were rude, you know, in proportion, it wouldn't really be a problem because we don't really live in sub-Saharan Africa. So house cats being rude is a pain, but a lion, less of a pain, even if they were super rude, because you're not going to encounter them so often, or hopefully ever.
So, I mean, if a seagull is going to be rude, what about an even bigger bird, like an eagle, a bird of prey? Would they be rude?
Herons are quite rude.
Herons.
Yeah. Swoop down and steal the fish out your pond.
Yeah. I still don't think they would match the seagull, though.
I think you're right. I think we're going to have to give it to the seagull.
Yeah, seagull. Okay, let's do another one. If you were to appoint a president of the internet, who would it be and why?
Wow, that is difficult.
Yeah. In your world, it would be Bigfoot.
I don't know. It's someone who has done nice things, I think, with the internet. Yeah. Because it has such a capability for evil.
Yeah, I think it needs to be someone that would just... It would need to be someone who is very observant, can work quickly to solve problems, and would just be able to basically if they saw something pop up, a really nasty tweet, they'd just go, "Sorry, that's not allowed. That's finished. You're gone." President Obama, I reckon.
Obama,
former President Obama, would be a decent president of the internet because I think he'd be firm, but he'd be fair. And we all love him.
Okay, I was probably thinking maybe someone a bit more trivial than that.
Right.
Okay. Not quite as important.
Freddie Starr.
I was going to say PewDiePie, but he's had his controversies with the internet.
Oh, yeah. PewDiePie. Oh, right. Yeah, no, he was... He's one of your YouTube stars, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. I think while you're mocking me, I think you're in the minority for having not heard of him.
Yeah, no, I've only heard of him through you.
Ricky Gervais, I think, would be quite a good referee on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, Ricky Gervais would be quite good. Although I don't know whether he could. I think it would need to be someone with a bit more diplomacy. I love Ricky Gervais, but he's not particularly diplomatic when there's something that riles him. So I don't know whether it would need to be someone with a bit more of that. I'll tell you who I really would be quite good, I think, would be Peter Egan.
I have to be honest with you, I have got no earthly clue who Peter Egan is.
Peter Egan is an actor, right, who has been campaigning recently for that Man and the Animals to come out of Afghanistan. He played the next door neighbor in Ever Decreasing Circles.
Right. That was a show when I was... I'm just Googling him. This guy's 74 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
I vaguely recognize his face.
Well, he's in Afterlife, the Ricky Gervais thing.
Yeah. Known for his television roles, including Hogarth in The Big Breadwinner, Hog. The Future of George IV.
Yeah. Ever Decreasing Circles. You know Ever Decreasing Circles.
Yeah. Paul Ryman.
He played Paul.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think maybe someone a bit more well-known, no disrespect to Peter Egan.
All right. Judi Dench.
Judi Dench. I don't know.
Everyone loves Judi Dench.
I'll tell you what, the answer's screaming us in the face or staring us in the face, whatever it is.
Yeah.
John Bercow. He has made a career of, you know, being the sort of referee between left and right.
Yeah.
And he's got nothing to do now.
A lot of people hate him, though.
Oh, a lot of people hate everyone. That's how the fucking internet works.
Okay. All right. Well, he's now appointed president of the internet. Right.
Excellent.
How many chickens would it take to kill a lion? Now, I'm talking as someone who has been savaged by a cock, remember? And
is that on your OnlyFans page?
Yeah, that's another fetish. And they're quite vicious. Now, obviously, that's the male of the species. And when they say chickens, I don't know whether we're talking hens, female or male, or a combination of the two. I think it wouldn't take that many to take down a lion. I reckon four chickens could take a lion.
Are you insane?
No, I reckon four chickens, where they get riled. Yeah, a riled chicken is a dangerous beast. You get four chickens riled up, they could take on a lion. No, those beaks, mate, honestly, fatal.
Okay, you mean this?
Yeah. Four chickens.
All right. Are you serious? Okay. £10,000.
£10,000?
I bet you 10 grand.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll double it. I'll give you eight chickens.
Right.
They ain't taking down a lion.
You don't think eight chickens would take down a lion?
You were adamant four would, so...
I reckon four could do it. Eight, a couple of them would be sitting back, just watching.
I would put £10,000 on this,
like,
but I've got no way...
If you had eight.
I've got no way of organising this legally, have I? So we
not.
Can never find out.
And neither of us have £10,000. So unless you're going to earn that with your feet, we're both fucked.
Yeah, my foot money. That'll come in handy.
So, all right. So how many chickens then? How many chickens? So four, you don't even think eight's going to do it. How many chickens to take down a lion?
I would suggest it would take 500 chickens.
500?
And they would need to all sort of beak to each other and stick together in one enormous mass.
Right.
Jump off of a cliff from a great height and land directly on the lion's head.
Right.
And that's how 500 chickens would kill a lion. I think a lion would basically just, unless it died of exhaustion from killing chickens, no amount of chickens will kill a lion.
Oh, no, 500, if you had 500 chickens, they wouldn't need any tactics like you're suggesting. The 500 chickens would easily take down a lion. Imagine, the lion wouldn't know what's going on. There's so many of them that by the time it would be tired out in the end. I think 500, easy.
You're going with the understanding that you're assuming these 500 chickens will have a clear directive in their minds, their little chickeny brains, that they want to work as a team and take down a lion, rather than just thinking, shit, there's a lion, fucking leg it.
I'm just saying, if a lion was to approach a flock, would that be the collective noun for the chicken? I would imagine so. A flock of chickens, and there were 500 in that. 500 chickens would turn, survival instincts would kick in, and they probably would work as a team.
You're giving them a lot of credit. I think if
have you ever seen Chicken Run? They are.
Yeah, that was a cartoon.
They work so well together as a team.
I reckon there'd be, if 500 chickens came face to face with a lion, there'd be some sort of avian stampede. There'd be feathers everywhere, be a bloodbath, and who would be left at the end of it? The lion.
But okay, easy. All right, but think about the question. Let's say the chickens have made a collective decision that they're going
to. No, you can't do that. You can't impart. No. Because then I'd say, okay, if we're imparting wisdom on them, then one chicken knows what he's doing, gets a handgun, bang,
lion's
dead.
We're still going to use weapons. Its own physical abilities. How many chickens?
They've got peck. Is all they've got. A lion has got jaws of steel.
Right. So you're saying 500, and I reckon 4 could do it if they knew what they were doing. Right. Let's move on.
It's bullshit.
You found a time machine that's taken you back 600 years. All you have are the clothes on your back. How do you tell the people that you're from the future?
Ooh. I'd show them my time machine. Is that not easy enough?
I suppose, but they wouldn't know what that was, would they? You'd say, oh, this is a time machine. Imagine them go, oh, yeah, right, mate. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but surely, even though they wouldn't necessarily believe me that it's a time machine, it would still be going back 600 years. It would be showing them immensely vast technology that they'd never seen or know to exist before.
Yeah.
So I would still at least appear to be something from the future.
Okay. So it's a very good answer.
Or, I mean, how much time do I have to prepare?
Well, you found a time machine. You can have as much time as you want to prepare, presumably.
Well, then I'd simply look up the next big historical event to happen.
Yeah.
And tell them what was going to happen the next day.
Right, yeah.
Unless, of course, my going back in time alters and fragments the time-space continuum.
Yeah.
Which would mean that the thing I went back to warn them about then doesn't happen.
The only problem with that is if you're going back 600 years, you will be in the year 1421.
Right.
And if you were to say, tomorrow at this time, this is going to happen, you'll be burned at the stake as a fucking wizard or something faster you can say Back to the Future.
Well, I guess then I'd have to sort of claim to be God and then prove them wrong or right with my time traveling machine. How do you do it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's giving you a bit of a clue with the question, isn't it? All you have are the clothes on your back. Now, if I'm wearing the clothes of now, that might be enough. If I was to show them, let's say I was wearing Nike Airs.
Yeah.
And I was to show them those, I mean, that would blow their fucking mind, wouldn't it? Shoes with air in.
Would it?
Of course it would. 1421. All they've got is like, what do you call it? Winkle pickers or sandals.
Yeah, I kind of see what you mean.
Yeah.
But all you're doing is showing them something they've never seen before.
Well, you're doing that with a time machine.
Yeah, I think the time machine's a bit more impressive than Nike Airs, though.
Well, I don't know. I reckon if I was to show someone in 1421 a trainer that's got an air bubble in it or whatever the fuck it is, they'd be like, oh my God, that's incredible. You must be some sort of wizard from the future. And then I'd be burned at the
fucking
stake.
Why have you time travelled to the West Country?
It's the place to go, in it. They all talk like that. That's a difficult one, that, because I think you'd be getting yourself into trouble anyway. I don't think you'd be believed, and you'd have to get out of there pretty quick, I reckon.
I think you're right. So we have to give up on that one, then. We're not sure, because whatever we do could end in instant death.
I think the only thing you could do is take one of them with you in the time machine, bring them back to now, and then let them explain to the others.
Okay, I've got it. I know how you do it.
Okay.
I know how you do it. Now, I don't know what disease would have been prevalent 500 years ago. Presumably something simple that we've cured a long time ago.
Yeah, something like smallpox or measles.
Yeah, so do my research, get a vial of the cure for whatever that thing may be.
Right.
go back in time, come out the time machine and say, wait, before you kill me, I can prove I am from the future. The disease this man here is dying of, I have the cure in this needle. If I am lying, feel free to kill me.
Right.
Inject the man, he gets better. I have proved I'm a time traveler.
Or they would treat you as a god.
Or a witch.
Either way,
you're at the stake.
Yeah, either way, you're being burnt at the fucking stake. It's just best not to go back. If you're going to time travel, go forward. That would seem to be the best rule for living the life as a time traveler. Should we do one more?
Yeah.
What are the three things you could buy at a grocery store to make the cashier give you a weird look?
A grocery store. So what are we saying? Supermarket? So,
yeah, supermarket. I guess these are from Americanization.
Okay, I would say a large courgette.
Yeah.
Some Vaseline.
Pots of Vaseline, yeah.
And, what's the cherry on the cake here to make it really weird?
Because I think already you'll get a slightly weird look, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's something that they regularly see. That they'll regularly see someone with a courgette. And
courgette,
some sort of
Vaseline, condoms.
Yeah, again, I reckon if you work in a supermarket long enough, you see that several times.
What, and you don't think that would garner a strange look, eyebrow?
Yeah, but I don't know whether it would really throw them.
You don't think that would throw them?
I don't think that it would throw them that much. I don't think so. I think you've got to start looking at some very odd combinations.
I think if you buy three completely random things for some really perverted, you know, fetish.
Yeah.
You know, if you bought, for example, a roast chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know, a box of tissues and a puzzler magazine.
Yeah.
That won't raise any eyebrows. They're just three items. My items, you join the dots.
What if you were to buy a roast chicken, one of those already roasted ones, some Vaseline and a condom?
I think that might win.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Got a couple of small recommendations for you this week. First of all, they just put it on the BBC iPlayer, sort of as a tribute to the late, great Sean Locke.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 15 Stories High, which was his sitcom from a few years back now. And I remember watching some of them when they were out originally, and I've never watched them since. I don't think I watched the whole thing. So they literally just put it on in the last couple of days, so I'm so excited to watch those. But do you know what? I was so upset about Sean Locke, like really upset, because he was one of my favourite comedians. And the day the news broke, I watched quite a lot of clips on YouTube and Twitter that people were putting up. But since then, I've not been able to watch anything with him in. I find that it's too much at the moment. I think I'm in a bit of denial that he's gone.
Oh, it was incredibly sad news. One show I loved, which you can't find on any iPlayer or anything like that, I don't think, but it is on YouTube, probably not in the best quality, but if you're a lover of Sean Locke, it's well worth a watch. It's very good. TV Heaven, Telly Hell. I think there was only one series of it. It's all there on YouTube. It's basically him interviewing guests, talking about clips of what their idea of TV hell and TV heaven is. It's very straightforward with the concept, but it's very funny.
He was so good. I'm so glad I got to see him live once. That I can think back on that. But yeah, I'm glad I saw him live. That was an amazing thing in my life. So anyway, there's one thing. The other thing that I've been watching is I think it's a rehash of an old Channel 4 program. Do you remember Undercover Boss?
Yeah, never liked that.
ITV have seemed to have relaunched it as Undercover Big Boss. You know, they've really thought a change through.
And they sweated in the boardroom over that one.
And I've watched a couple of episodes. And the thing that I really think is worth watching it for is the absolutely terrible disguises. I've watched two, and you think, how are you possibly... I mean, people must be looking at it. There was one this week where the guy had a really terrible fake beard and wig. And if he's coming to you with a camera crew to saying, oh, you know, this is a documentary about how people are getting back into work after COVID. Surely you'd think, now, there's something going on here. Look at that. It's fucking appalling. Or would you just think, oh, bless him, he's really self-conscious. I mean, the guy this week, I'm sure at one point his beard was starting to fall off.
I don't want to piss on your chips or anything, but I have always believed that show is completely staged.
Do you think? It might be. It might well be, but it's worth watching just for the disguises. Because it starts with them having the makeover with the new look. And I suppose they have to keep it simple because they're doing it for so long, they almost have to do it themselves. You don't always have an artist, a makeup artist with you. So I guess it's got to be simple. But there was this bit where they walk out with their family and they go, oh, I didn't recognise you. If that was my dad and he walked out with a stupid fucking wig on, it'd be like, Dad, they're going to see through that very quickly. You look fucking ridiculous. But anyway, well worth a watch. There we are. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.